Okay, guys, we're gonna go walkies. Okay, wait there for us.
My name is Jer Philpott. I have Weimaraner dogs. I've been obsessed with them since childhood. Just past Clontarf bus station garage, and we're heading towards the wooden bridge to get onto the island, and you can hear from Tundra in the back. She gets very excited as we're approaching, and then as soon as we turn to go onto the bridge, she'll wind fast up and he'll start barking, and there'll be a cacophony of barks until we get to the car park. The view here is magnificent. It's like Dublin Bay, and today it's beautiful. The water is all silvery, lit by the sun. Currently I have three dogs, one male and two females. I have weather-themed names for my dogs. So Frost is my boy, Drizzle and Thunder are my girls. I plan to mate Frost to Thunder. That will be my ninth litter.
Okay guys, we're here. Calm down.
There's no doubt about this. I mean, these animals are my family. They're part of my family. There are other people in my family as well, but these are the animals in my family. And, you know, they're pride of place, they're centre stage, and they're involved. For me, you don't own a dog that lives in the backyard or garden all the time and lives outside. For me, the dogs are an integral part of the house. And I do things with the dogs that kind of develop their natural instincts and encourage those instincts and develop those instincts. But that said, they're hunting dogs. They do all of those things. But they like nothing better than curling up on the sofa of an evening in front of the fire, or when you're watching TV, or in the garden if you're out there eating of a summer's evening. So yeah, they're usually important to my life. I chose to have them. Therefore, I'm the one responsible for keeping them in tip-top form, tip-top shape, and tip-top health.
Okay, guys, I'm going. I think when you drive from the coast road onto the wooden bridge to the island itself, it is like heart-lifting. It's wonderful. Even if it's raining or cloudy or it's bright and sunny, it would just like, you know, lift your heart. So I think from that point of view, psychologically, there's a huge benefit for me to get that. Also, I mean, I'm walking, they're running, they're getting about maybe between 5 and 10k exercise. I'm getting about like 4 to 5k walking every day. Do you know, it's like you switch off, you can think of things. It's almost like walking meditation in a way. Okay, they're rushing out now. So they stop and turn around and come back immediately. Good girls, well done. Good boy, Frost. It's important that I'm the master, if you like. I'm the pack leader, so they have to obey me. But it's done in a way that's kind of, it's like positive reinforcement. They're delighted to come back to me because I praise them, and they think, yeah, wonderful, and then they go off again. They're in their element out here. It's they just love it. And it's also really, for me, it's wonderful to be able to see them do what they're supposed to do. A lot of dogs don't get that opportunity necessarily. They're really fit and, you know, they're well-muscled and all that kind of stuff. There are lots of rabbit scents and other scents around here, and they kind of, because they're gun dogs, essentially they're a life support machine for a nose. This is what they're meant to do. So you're encouraging their natural instincts and developing them.
Well done.
It's funny, they all display similar Weimaraner characteristics, but then at the same time, they have distinct personalities. Frost is really chilled. From the day he was born, he was a chilled dog. You could see him really comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't need reassurance, but he's really good company. He hangs around, he watches, he observes. Whereas Drizzle is more kind of lively and is more watchful of things, and you can see her responding, whereas Frost would observe almost silently and sort of things would sink in. Thunder, on the other hand, is she would be the mad member of the family. In a way, she's very energetic, still very puppyish, and she's really enthusiastic and she wants to be in everything, and she moves around and responds to every noise and sound. So yeah, they're very different. And how they behave in the evening around the house and you're with them and stuff as well. You know, Frost comes along and sits down with you for a while. He'll go off. He's happy with that. But Thunder will wiggle her way right up to my shoulder when I'm watching TV or reading or whatever on the sofa, and she needs to be close to her dad. And she and Drizzle do a sort of a musical chairs, trying to get closest to me over the course of an evening. But yeah, you end up in a tangle of Vimeraners in the evenings watching TV or reading. So I give him a splash of water now so he can have a little drink. Okay, in the car. Good boy. The Vimeraner breed originated in Bavaria in eastern Germany in the Weimar Republic. On a nobleman's estate, he had developed this type of dog for hunting specifically. He produced this grey hunting dog that is the Vimeraner we know today, and they were originally confined to his estate only. And gradually then the breed became more and more popular and they spread worldwide. I suppose the best way to describe a Vimeraner would be that they're the athlete of gun dogs. They're very muscular, sleek, elegant animals. They're very energetic. They're a silver-grey colour and have a very shiny, glossy coat if they're in good condition. I mean, a lot of people might know them. They've appeared in Kate Bush videos, in New Order videos. About 2 years ago, Brown Thomas used a dog that I bred in one of their loyalty card adverts for their credit card for the Brown Thomas store. I suffer from a disease known as pedigreeitis in the dog world, so I do a lot of research on older pedigrees and dogs. I see myself as a custodian of this breed, and when I would choose a dog or come to choose a dog for mating to one of my bitches, I would actually spend a lot of time researching the dogs behind the dogs. So I've established what you would call a line in dog terms. So, you know, you breed dogs that you have bred before to other dogs and you try and build. Okay, it's now the middle of June and Thunder is coming into season in about any time over the next week or two. So I'm going to mate her to Frost, my boy here. And they'll have gorgeous puppies, won't she, towards the end of the summer. This is a mating that I've always wanted to do, and I would keep a puppy from this because what it does is it ties together all of my bloodlines that I've been kind of building down the years into my strain of Vimeraners. So it's funny, yesterday I was watching them and Frost was walking by and he suddenly like got a whiff of Thunder. So there was obviously some kind of nice smell to suggest that she's coming into season. And Frost was like suddenly like, bing on his toes. So they had a mad kind of half hour flirting with each other, much to Drizzle's annoyance. So she sat there brooding, thinking like, So Thunder has been in season for about 2 weeks now. It's the 17th of July. So I'm mating Frost and Thunder today. And hopefully 62 days later, I'll have a lovely litter of puppies. You're putting your back to the wall. He'll now start flirting with her and like he'll lick her ears and it's kind of like he'll nudge against her. It's kind of canine foreplay, for the want of a better description. He's very eager and he wants to mount her immediately. She hasn't been mated before, so she hasn't any real idea as to what's going on. But he is mad, mad eager. So I'm going to hold her mouth so she doesn't turn and bite him. She puts her tail to the side when she relaxes. Good girl, that's it. And then make sure he goes into the right orifice. It's incredible, like 24 hours ago, he wasn't interested in her at all. But obviously the hormones are right and she's released the right scent, so he's off like a boil, as they say. Good boy. It's hard work for us, isn't it? Who knew having puppies would be so hard? It's a hot day. I need to take my shirt off, I'm sweating. Good boy. Good girl, yeah. It's nearly there. Good girl. Success. He's tired now. And he's thrusting quite enthusiastically. Easy, Sigurd. Good girl. Good girl. Very good girl. So he's going to finish now and he wants to throw his leg over and he stops. So what I do is I throw his back leg over. Now they're both facing rear end to rear end. And I'm supporting her under her belly and him under his belly. And he'll try and reposition himself to get comfortable. So now what I'll do is I'll keep them joined like this so they won't pull apart from each other. They will migrate around. It'll be like a sort of a merry dance, if you like, around the garden a bit. Once they're in like this, it's good news. Generally, they can tie for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The gestation period for dogs is 62 days. So I would assume from today that the puppies would be expected sometime between the 18th of September and the 22nd of September. I'll mate them one more time in 2 days' time again. You're a good boy. You're a very good boy. You didn't give up, did you? You persevered. Well done. Good boy. When she was born, I figured, okay, I will mate her to Frost when she's old enough. So this mating has been planned for, anticipated for at least almost 7-8 years ago. I was thinking about this mating, and not today, on the 17th of July 2013, the mating has taken place.
Now, it's always a question of a genetic dice throw when you mate dogs. So hopefully, I think their qualities and their characteristics will complement each other very, very well. But we shall see what nature has decided.
It's funny, because I remember the first time I would have seen this is when I was a little boy, because we had a sheepdog and my dad bred her a few times, and we'd see the tie happening. And I think it was kind of a way of them introducing us to kind of, you know, the facts of life when you see the dogs do it and then the puppies arrive, and it made their job easier.
When I was 13, I was told that I could have a pedigree dog for my birthday. So I set off and went to the city library in Cork, where I grew up, and researched all the pedigree dog books. There was a dog in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. comics, which looked very much like a Weimaraner. And I was completely taken with those comics as a kid as well. So I think that was my first introduction to a Weimaraner. And so anyway, I narrowed the choice down to Weimaraners or a Scottish Terrier, because there was a woman who lived up the street who was a piano teacher, and she had a Scottish Terrier. And so I thought that I would get a Weimaraner for my 13th birthday. But in fact, when I arrived on the day of my birthday, I was given a Scottish Terrier. And obviously then grew up, went to school, university, went abroad for a while. And when I was living in America, Weimaraners were very popular there. And I saw lots of them when I lived in California and in New York. So when I returned to Ireland at the beginning of the 90s, I was walking on Bull Island on the beach there one day, thinking it's time to get a dog. And I began to think about a Weimaraner, and literally, coincidentally, a Weimaraner jumped off the dunes and ran right into the water in front of me. And I was with some friends and I said, this is incredible. I was just thinking I should get a Weimaraner dog. So I took it as an omen. And then I set about researching, and I got my first puppy from Belfast, in fact. And I called him Casper, and he was... I suppose looking back, I made all my mistakes with him because I didn't train him properly from the outset, and he was quite a strong-willed dog. So he kind of ruled the roost in terms of, he was like ill-mannered in terms of, you know, table manners and house manners. But he was adorable at the same time. And there were lots of stories with him. He was like a runaway dog. He used to climb out of the back garden during the daytime when I was at work, and yet would be back in again when I returned from work. And often I had to rescue him from the police station, and they were so used to him being found on the street, they would have him in a cell with a tin of dog food and a bowl of water waiting for me to collect him after work.
We're at the National Showgrounds in Clachran near the airport. It's owned by the Irish Kennel Club, and today the show is being hosted, put on by the Hibernian Canine Society. I'm judging Group 7 breeds today, Irish Setters, German Short-haired Pointers, German Wire-haired Pointers, and Hungarian Vizslas.
I first began showing dogs in the early 70s, and that was my first foray into the dog show world. And I remember growing up in Cork, there was a regular dog column in, can't remember which of the Cork papers, and they used to talk about them, and it was called Green Star is the Prize You're Given. And I was thinking, I can't wait to win a Green Star, it would be fantastic. And what's amazing now is that, like, all these years later, I'm now awarding Green Stars. I suppose if you want something badly enough, you'd find it one way or the other. There's quite a bit of a social atmosphere. People are quite friendly with each other, but it's deadly serious at the same time. And people are wickedly competitive in terms of their dog doing well. And there's a lot of rivalry and begrudgery, I suppose. But also there's a lot of camaraderie. So it all melts down to being a good day's out.
Hi, Liz.
Jesus, hello there.
How are you?
I nearly want to be introduced to you. So long since I saw you.
Yeah, I've been here since before Christmas.
No.
How are you?
I'm standing up.
See you later. It's good fun. It's kind of mad. I mean, I think the film Best in Show captured the dog world brilliantly. There are lots of kind of strange and wonderful and not so wonderful personalities in the dog world, which is kind of has to be seen to be believed sometimes.
First, number 715. 713 and 711.
Well, well done. I was delighted to make her up today anyway.
Thank you. Oh, chuck the bits. Yeah, I have 10 Irish setters. We all live in the house. Yeah, I take seven to bed with me as well. I've always been an animal lover, haven't I? From I was a baby. Yeah.
I thought she was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought you might like her. So thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
I mean, I suppose the thing is with dog shows is whether you win or not on the day, everybody takes their best dog home. And I think that's the kind of attitude to approach dog showing with. That, you know, if somebody doesn't like your dog on the day, you know, suck it up, leave it there and move on, because you still take the best dog home. So it's the 6th of September and the mating of Frost and Thunder was successful. And in about 2 weeks' time, Thunder's puppies will be due. Anytime from the 17th of September to the 21st or thereabouts is when they're due. It's been interesting watching Thunder over the weeks as, you know, the pregnancy has progressed, because her behaviour had changed. You know, you could tend to see her sort of perhaps minding herself more, not being as kind of, you know, like mad dashing around the fields and stuff like that. When the litter is born, I'd leave Lyric FM 24/7 in the room with them, so they hear, if you like, classical music, different types of music which have different sounds. That could be a brass section or something like that, and they're used to unexpected noises then, and they become less nervous to unusual noises. So it's very good for socialisation purposes. So we're at our kind of Temple Bar haunt for breakfast. From after walking around town and the river, I used to stop off here. And I get my hot chocolate and they get a slice of brown toast with butter and attract all the tourists. Sit, wait. Thank you.
3 slices of brown toast.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, for the dogs.
For the dogs.
Yes.
Last day today, we fly this afternoon.
See, Frost is drilling already. See, sit.
With butter.
With butter? Yes.
Butter, yes, of course.
Only the best.
Only the best.
Kerrygold Irish butter.
You think it's the best bread and butter for dogs?
It's an occasional treat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just at the weekend.
Ah, yeah. Have a good time.
You two have a nice flight back. It's funny also the kind of tourists that you see in town. German people, Scandinavian people, Italian people love the dogs. French people, hit or miss, they're not really that fussy. A lot of Oriental people, Asian people, don't like the dogs at all. But then you get a group of Japanese people who absolutely adore them. Sit, Frost. Sit. Good. Wait. I feed them essentially a raw diet. So they wouldn't get this very often, but it's just a weekend treat, and it's like parents. And the butter is good for them anyway. It's like dairy's got oils and stuff like that, so. Well, that's the toast then for today. They've had breakfast already. They've had their raw chicken wings. And I'll head on to the butcher's shortly to get another stack of food. But today I'm going to get... Thunder, sit down. She's just been looking at the window washer walking by with his bucket and mop, and she's thinking, could I play with that? There's a dog passing by now, and Thunder, as usual, will bark. Thunder? Thunder, sit down. Okay, can we sit down again now and calm down? Thunder, you in particular. Sit. Sit down. Good girl. I bring, usually Frost, to the Gay Pride Parade every year in Dublin and meet my friends and we hang out and it's a great party, and afterwards, usually behind the front lounge, there's a big gathering and people, the streets are lined and there's a real party atmosphere. So I go there and Frost is renamed on the day to Date Bait. And friends will come by and say, can I borrow the dog for a second? And they'll walk down past somebody they fancy and the person kind of goes, oh, your dog's really nice, whatever, and they have a chat. And so all my friends come back with all these numbers for kind of potential dates. Meanwhile, they're using my dog as the date bait. So I think I have to kind of get in on that act at some stage myself. It's not my purpose for having the dogs. If it happens, hey, how bad? If I go to Henry Street or even Grafton Street, it is hilarious. The amount of people that sort of, you know, just make a beeline. You can see the people stopping in. Picking you out and sort of like gesturing, saying, is it okay to come to your dog? And then they come and they hang out and the dogs adore it. Sit. Let's see where they go with the violin music here now if they like it. They're called Bimaraners.
How old?
Frost is 7, Drizzle is 5, and Thunder's 4.
Beautiful. Pets, big babies.
Big babies, exactly.
They look like big babies. We have a big husky at home.
Oh, great.
They're big babies, aren't they?
Totally.
Beautiful colour.
Thank you.
Beautiful colour.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is where all your food comes from. Where are you? Say hello to Stephen. Do you have any pork bones?
Yes.
Could I have... Do you have three? Or
two.
Two is grand.
Yeah.
Will you chop the handles off for me?
Yeah, no problem.
They're saying, finally we're in the butcher shop. I think they're in heaven now. Thanks very much. This is the bag of food now. They're called Vimaraners. What about me? I'm lovely too, aren't I?
Sorry?
What about me? I'm lovely too, aren't I? Nobody notices me, it's all the dogs.
I am gorgeous.
She is looking large, but again, it's hard to predict. I mean, I imagine she will have a multiple birth. I'd say probably 6 or 7. We'll see what happens on the day. There are a few people who have their names on waiting lists for puppies. So I've kind of like theoretically committed to 5 to 6 puppies. You know, I want to vet the people properly. And I've done this before and I do what I call the adoption interview. I mean, once there was people bought a puppy for me and it transpired that the puppy came back subsequently, and it transpired that marriage was in difficulty and the puppy was like a band-aid patch on their marriage. I didn't realize that at the time. So now when people come, I actually ask them if their relationship is secure and sound and solid, because it just saves me the hassle. And it's not just hassle, but also you don't want the dog messed around. So you become almost like a social worker, where you can ask, you give yourself permission to ask these questions in a nice way of people. And I think that when they hear you ask the question and you explain why you're asking, I think they probably appreciate the fact that they are being asked as well, because they know that the welfare of the dog is uppermost in all our minds, basically. You know, they know that this is a commitment that's going to last for, you know, 12, 13, 14 years perhaps, and they have to be careful with that, and you have to be assured that they will live up to that responsibility. So yeah, I take it quite seriously from that point of view. I've had 2 phone calls from people I didn't like the sound of them. There's just something about their manner, their attitude. Like, whilst I was polite to them, I know they won't come within an ass's roar of my dogs and my puppies. I just wouldn't be happy. You get a gut reaction when you're talking to people. And the suspicion for me would be that perhaps they're potential puppy farmers.
Hello?
So when it comes close to what they call whelping, the delivery of the puppies, you make a whelping box which is made to specific specifications and dimensions. And what it does is it gives the bitch a safe environment, but also it contains her. And there are safety rails within that box. So when the young puppies are born, when they're a couple of hours old to a few days old, you protect the bitch from lying on them and squashing them, because they can huddle under that so they won't be jammed against the corners. So what I have here is the makings of the whelping box. I have the materials cut to size. Okay, make sure it's all line and square, because you know there's got to be an aesthetic dimension to this as well. She can lie out here very easily, but also she can lean back against the wall and, in a sense, almost push against that when she's in labour. Actually, seeing the whelping box now, I'm quite excited. It's just amazing, the whole process of how they have puppies. And also watching the other dogs, because I think she obviously gives off a certain scent and aroma now as well. So they can probably sense that she's carrying puppies as well. But it's been nearly 5 years since I had a litter of puppies. So in some respects, it's kind of like thinking, oh my God, what's going on? She'll be in a customised whelping box at the side of the bed in the bedroom. I'm so looking forward to it.
Push it out. Push.
It's now just 8:10, and a few minutes ago we were having dinner downstairs and Thunder became very, very restless, and suddenly her waters broke. So we're upstairs now with a whelping box in the bedroom. Her contractions are coming fairly strongly now, and it looks like the puppy should be born pretty soon. Waiting game, I guess, and it's kind of anxious, and it's because it's her first litter, I'm concerned that she doesn't have any kind of trauma or undue stress.
She'll be there. Push. Good girl, yeah. Yeah, go on. It's a girl.
So it's what they would class as a breech birth, you know, the legs and the tail are first.
Good girl, push.
I would prefer if it were coming up more quickly than this, but I'm holding on to the legs here, and as she pushes, I can kind of assist. Good girl, well done. Yeah, you're getting there. Go on, one more. I'm taking the sack off the puppy and I'm trying to see that it's alive. For so long, the puppy could be in distress. Good puppy, good puppy. Tanji, come on, sweetheart. Look, your puppy. Look, your puppy. Good puppy, good puppy. Come on, come on, come on. So, usually, her licking will kind of massage the puppy into life. She's licking it now, that's good. Yeah, it's moving, see? It's breathing now, it's good, it's kind of moving around. It's now coming up to nearly 4 hours. It's about 10 minutes short of 4 hours since the first puppy was born. And whilst there were signs that the other puppy's on the way, the second puppy, it hasn't emerged yet, and Thunder doesn't seem to be in distress. I mean, she was sleeping for a while. I'm knackered. I feel quite tired, and but obviously, you know, I'm going to stay awake and supervise things. Yeah, I'm pleased. I mean, if it was just one puppy, that would be great, but clearly there are more puppies inside her. So it's going to be a long delivery process, clearly. Well done, good girl. Here it is. The legs and the tail are there, but it's not coming fast enough. And then I'm waiting for her next contraction to push down. And when she bears down, good, 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 There's more of it coming out now. Good. It's kind of hurting her, obviously. Good girl. Good girl, yeah. Yeah, well done. Yeah, good girl. Good girl, well done. Good girl. Nearly there, come on. Good girl. Good girl. Ah, good girl. Come on, good girl. Good girl, well done. I know, I know. Good girl. Good girl, good girl, good girl. Good girl, sorry. Good girl. Good girl, well done. It's all done. Again, the sack is around the head. It's a big boy puppy. So, again, we'll see if we can get him to breathe. So make sure his mouth is clear, the air passage. And it seems to be. The tongue is there, that's good. But look at the size of him. That's why it was so hurtful. Come on, sweetheart. Doesn't seem to be responsive. But if she keeps on licking him, she might be able to encourage that. It'd be a shame if this guy doesn't come around 2:32, so it's 5 hours after the last one. He could just be stunned having been, you know, he could have been too long in there maybe. Doesn't look good for this boy. It's a shame, such a nice boy. If you look at him, he's about twice the size of her. He's getting cold back here now, but he'd be warm because he was in her body. Just want to see if I could give him a kiss of life to see if that would work. Yeah, I think this poor boy is lost, sadly. Gone. Shame. Zephyr was born at 21:35 precisely last evening. So this very minute in time, just after 2 o'clock, it's like, I don't know, that's 2 hours, 14, nearly 16 hours old. I'm in the bedroom next to the whelping box with Thunder and her one puppy, the girl, the firstborn. The secondborn puppy, the male puppy, was very large and it was a breech birth, so he suffocated and consequently and sadly was stillborn. I've just come back from the vets. I brought Thunder to be x-rayed just to make sure that there are no more puppies inside stuck, and there aren't, so there were two puppies involved in total. So we're now at the happy situation of having a hale and healthy puppy who's thriving, and it's a girl puppy. Choice is removed from my hand, and I have one girl, so she's the girl who'll stay, and we've called her Zephyr. Zephyr meaning gentle breeze. I thought it has a nice sound to it. The Z-ness of it. I'm content that they're content now. It's good. Last night was very anxious, and she was in quite a lot of stress. And then the fact that the puppy was dead, you know, was kind of traumatic for her and for me. The puppy's musculature isn't strong enough at this stage. But it's funny now, she's just attaching herself very quickly to the teeth again. She knows exactly where to go. So when she suckles, she's obviously making an effort, so she's tired then. So she finds a little nook and cranny, like the crook of an elbow or of a paw or an ankle, and just rests. But also the contact is important. And again, she will scent her mother. So that creates a bond and reinforces the bond. So it's very soothing, very comforting. And it's also a joy to watch. Obviously, the first 48 hours are kind of critical and you're kind of observing and watching. Zephyr is thriving and she's put on 2 ounces since last evening because I weighed her at lunchtime. And you can even see it, her movement is stronger. Everything is kind of delightful about her. We love her. I mean, it is like watching a David Attenborough wildlife program in close proximity, like in high definition, in your own living room. It's pretty amazing. She'll be spoiled rotten. And she'll also get on brilliantly with the other dogs. You know, I'll supervise their bonding with her initially, but then they'll just hang out together. And then I think Frost thinks his job is done, helping her to come into the world. So So everything was going really well yesterday with the puppy and Thunder. She was being a very good mum and the puppy was being very active and feeding and sleeping, which is what they normally do. But last night in the early hours, I noticed that Thunder was carrying the puppy around in her mouth quite a lot and acting a bit sort of distressed. Now, I put it down at the time to the fact that she had too much attention to give the puppy and she was just being fussy. They settled down. Obviously, I got them to settle down. I dozed off. And then I heard the puppy sort of crying, and I noticed that she was outside the whelping box on the ground. And Thunder was very distressed, and I was kind of wondering why she didn't pick her up. So I actually sat in the whelping box with them, and Thunder was calm then. And then I was trying to get the puppy to feed. And she was feeding, but not as enthusiastically as she had been yesterday and previously. So I was a tad concerned about that. I noticed she was a little bit cold, so I replenished the hot water bottle and put that in with her, and that seemed to kind of, you know, get things going. And then this morning early again, I noticed that she was kind of not inclined to feed, and again, Thunder was distressed, so put her onto the teeth and, you know, got her some of her mum's milk, and that seemed to kind of revive her somewhat. So I thought, you know, maybe it was just a kind of lull and she'd be fine. But then at around mid-morning, I noticed that she was kind of, you know, still a bit lethargic and felt a bit cool. So I brought her to the vet, and the vet gave her an antibiotic. She took her temperature and she was at 36, and she should have been just over the 37. So then shortly after lunch, I realised that she was incredibly lethargic and thought that her breath was very, very faint. So I tried to massage her heart and to give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and that got a little response. But despite my best efforts, it wasn't working, and sadly, she's passed away. Now she's died, which is very sad and traumatic. I mean, I'm still really happy that Thunder is healthy, so that's important. But you know, you kind of go through all the plans, and the meeting happens. The dogs are healthy. She carries the puppies to full term, and then this happens, and it's disappointing. I mean, a human life hasn't been lost; it's just an animal life. But they're important to me, and you know, I'm very, very sad. It's a shame. So here we are. But she was a strong little fighter, and she was kind of full of beans all day yesterday. And I thought, like, great. And, you know, I was keeping my fingers crossed because, as I say, the first 48 hours is crucial. Ugh, you know, I'm quite close to tears. It's, you know, I did everything I could to try and save her. And you kind of chalk it down and you get on with things. And, you know, Thunder's happy. The other dogs are happy. They're healthy. So, you know, you got to do this little girl, dignify her with it. A suitable time and period of mourning, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, there would be other puppies, and you know, life goes on and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like, it's a pain in the neck. And I suppose for me, the thing now is that sort of, it wasn't about having the puppy. It was like earlier today, it was about like trying to save her. And then obviously that would mean I would have the puppy, but it was kind of more to do with that in ways than the thing of like possessing a puppy. It was more about saving her life. And clearly that didn't happen.
Guys, I'm gonna go.